This is the fourth limb of bhakti, known as following the footsteps of saintly persons. So known as sadhu vartmanu vartamam. Srupa Goswami quotes a verse from the Puranas, Brahma Yamala, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Pidimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatya Vakalpate. Without faithful adherence to the rules of scripture found in Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, and Pancharatra, one's so-called devotional service is simply a disturbance to society. One must follow in the footsteps of devotees who are strictly faithful to the Parampara. So, in this point, following the footsteps of saintly persons, that means living saints, such as Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. But when it mentions about the Shrutis and Smritis, it means those great sages and rishis like Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasa Muni, Lord Shiva, Bali Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, and the other Mahajans, Swayambhur Naradas Shambhu, Prahlada Janako Bhishma, Kumara Kapilomanu, Balir Vyasakir Vayam, the Dvadasa Mahajans, which are mentioned in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, these are all ascended masters. They're not in this plane anymore. They're not so-called alive, but their teachings are alive, and their instructions are alive, and they're contained in the Vedas. So we follow them, and we follow their teachings, and we get their blessings. The Prabhupada says that it is advised that a devotee follow the past acharyas and saintly persons, because by following, one can achieve the desired results, with no chance of lamenting or being baffled in his progress. So he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while thou art living still and sound, and while living try to spread the holy name around. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in this poem the eternality of the Guru Parampara, that Rupa Goswami is still alive, Raghunath Das Goswami is still alive and well in their teachings. So if we follow their teachings, we can make great progress in devotional service. So this means following the footsteps of the saints. Of course, we have to follow not only our own spiritual master, but all the bona fide sadhus and acharyas in the line of disciplic succession. There should be no dissension between the guru's teachings and the teachings of the guru parampara, since the qualification of the bona fide guru is that he presents the scriptures strictly according to the Guru Parampara. If he doesn't, it is not considered devotional service to adhere to his teachings. So Buddha was a great acharya. He's Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions him in his page 61, Nectar Devotion. So even though he is he's the personality of Godhead himself, his followers are not practicing pure devotional service for circumstantial reasons. Buddha did not strictly present the scriptures according to Guru Parampara. So we should follow our immediate gurus, Bhaktisanta Saraswati and the Sad Goswami's Vrindavan, because they established the eternal religious principles. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano Siddharma Samstapago. They were very Nippon expert in studying Nana Shastra, all the different Shastras, to find out the eternal religious principles. So if we study, especially the books left by the Goswamis, we become very fixed up on the path of bhakti. Vishnu Chakravartipad, he refers to this fourth quality of following the footsteps of saintly persons as Sadhu Marganusara, following the path of the sadhu. So this word marg, sadhu marg, anu means following, sara means essence. So following the sadhu marg, just like in Vrindavan, the road from the material world into the spiritual world is called Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. The road, in the material road, goes from Delhi, the national highway, which is a materialistic road full of maya, and it goes from Delhi to Agra. And people are in maya going up and down that road. But some fortunate souls, they take a left turn onto the left wing gopis Radharani's followers, and they get on the left side road, and they come off that material world, and they enter the spiritual off that material road, then they enter the spiritual road or marg, which is called Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. And one who stays in that marg, he will leave the material world and enter the spiritual world. So that's the road that leads to Vrindavan. It goes from the material road, which goes from Delhi to Agra, and takes one into Vrindavan. So following, that's called the Sadhu Marg. And Prabhupada is the most popular, most prominent and famous sadhu in the 20th century. So anyone who follows Prabhupada and stays on the Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, he will end up in Vrindavan, and Sevakunj, and Nidiban, and Rasastali, and Yamunapulin, and the banks of the Yamuna, serving Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. Or as Prabhupada sometimes says, in the bushes of Vrindavan. So the Vishwanath explains that this is the method by which the mind can be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, the sadhana bhakti. But in order to pursue sadhana bhakti, we must follow the Mahajans, because they all attained the Lord. So if we follow their path, which they've chalked out, it will be very easy and very fast, free from distress and hardship. Everything will be auspicious. The verse that Prabhupada puts in English from the Skanda Puran, this is the Sanskrit, Samrigya Shreyasam Hetu Panta Sastapa Varjita Anavapta Shramam Purve Yena Shanta Pratashtire. Translation. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, second chapter, 100th verse from Skanda Puran, which Prabhupada quotes on page 60 of Nectar Devotion. No path can be properly ascertained by any one individual. All the previous Mahajans, following in consecutive succession, have one after another made the path of bhakti neat and clean and free from obstruction. They eliminated all the petty obstacles and disturbances along the path and made it very easy and free from fear. We must take support from the specific path which they have laid. Even though one may be engaged in aikantiki bhakti, exclusive devotion towards Lord Hari, if one transgresses the regulations of the Shastras, like the Shrutis and Smritis, Puranas, or Pancharatras, his bhakti can never produce beneficial effect. It will simply be cause of calamity. So in other words, if we give up the path of the previous Mahajans and concoct our own path or try to start something new, then we won't attain this pure bhakti. Of course, those that have come to the platform of Ragmarg, they are guided by their super soul, because they're doing Priti Bhajan, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. So Krishna tells in Gita 10:10 that he gives intelligence and knowledge to those who are doing loving bhajan, doing bhajan with attachment, Priti Bhajan. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti puravagam Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam yena mam upayanti. They very easily upayanti, come to Krishna very quickly and free from problems, and they don't stumble or fall on the path, even if they run blindfolded on the path, because their rag and their attachment for Krishna is awakened. So they may not follow, and their bhakti doesn't depend so much on the strict following of the Shrutis and Smritis and Puranas. It depends on following the Lord's eternal associates, because on a platform of rag, one follows specific sadhus. It's also sadhu vartman of Varnanam, but he follows specifically Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das, who is the Prayojanacharya, and engages in Raghunuga Bhakti under their guidance and following their specific teachings, and Stavavali, Stavamala, Upadeshamrita, Ujjvala Nilamani, Manashiksha, etc. But for those sadhakas who are not on the Rag Marg, they have qualification or adhikari for Vaidik sadhana, they should be very strictly follow the path described by Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva, and other Mahajans in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But ultimately, everyone has to become a Rupanuga, follow Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, and Das Goswami, and the other associates of Lord Chaitanya, who actually taught the specific path of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, culminating in Mantri Bhav or Mantri Surup Bhajan. So, and following those Mahajans in their line of the six Goswamis, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Paladevi Dibhushan, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, Bhakti Santa Saraswati, and Srila Prabhupada. So at any time, whether one's in the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana or Raghunuga Sadhana, he must follow the great acharyas and sadhus. In Vaidhi Sadhana, we follow a wide variety of sadhus and mahajans, whereas in the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, we follow specific mahajans, like Rupin Rati, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, rather, who are specifically teaching the path of Rag that we're interested in following when we come to the platform of Ruchi and Asakti, when our specific attraction to Radha Krishna awakens in a Madhurya Ras or Vatsalya or Sakya Ras, one of the Braja Rasas which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to propagate. Then we follow specific sadhus that are in those specific paths. So now we can discuss the fifth limb of bhakti, which is mentioned here, inquiring about eternal religious principles. That's called, in Sanskrit, it's called Saddharma Pritcha. Pritcha means prashna, or asking questions about Saddharma. So in the Naradiya Purana it said, this is quoted in page 62, if one is actually very serious about devotional service, then all his purposes will be served without any delay. The 64 items of sadhana bhakti offer many practical ways to increase our devotional service. One way is to simply make note of the questions that arise during our study and contemplation of Shastra, and to put these questions before a senior Vaishnava. This in itself is devotional service. We have a notebook with a big question mark on the outside, which we, inside we numbered the pages 1 through 100, and then we divided the book into different tattvas. Page 1 through 10 is Guru Tattva, 10 through 20, Jiva Tattva, 20 to 30, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, etc. So whenever we're reading some book and we find some question in our mind about, then we write down the in a particular section of Tattva. If it's a question about Guru, we turn to our question book in the Guru Tattva section. And then we write Srimad Bhagavatam, what canto, what verse, or purport, and then write the question. Then whenever some sannyasis, advanced sannyasis, or just devotees come into Vrindavan, then we meet with them, and we take our question book along and we ask them, oh, do you know about Radha Tattva? I have some questions about Radha Tattva. Or I have one section called Puja, one section about Puja and worship, Archan. So when Bhaktivedyapurna Swami comes, or Banu Maharaj comes, they're very expert in this tattva, puja and worship, archana, archana tattva. So I meet with them, bring my question book, and ask those questions, and then note down their answers. So in this way, I'm actually practicing one of the 64 limbs of devotion, which is called Saddharma Pritcha, inquiring about eternal religious principles. So this is, we've all been students in school, and we've all taken notes, and we've all written questions and asked questions and been asked questions by our teacher. So this basic study technique of any good student can be applied to Krishna consciousness, and actually it's one of the limbs of devotional service. So we should also develop this habit of having a question book and asking questions. I know whenever I've met with some advanced sannyasis, they're very appreciative that I come with questions rather than just come for darshan or to hear some harikata. In this regard, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that there are two ways to serve the pure devotee. One, by associating with, hearing from, and inquiring from him, which is Vani Seva, or Vani Sangha. And the other is by rendering physical acts of service, which is called Vapu Sangha, or Vapu Seva. This is in Bhakti Sandarbha, text 238. Tatra Maha Bhagavat Seva Dvida Prasanga Rupa Paricharya Rupa Cha. So here, Jiva Goswami is mentioning this point of hearing and inquiring from the devotee. So this is support from Bhakti Sandarbha about this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu principle, number 5, to inquire about eternal religious principles. This is the whole basis of Guru-Disciple Sambandha. tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya uvidakshantite gyanam gyanena stavtadarshana. Krishna defines the qualities of guru and shishya. He says that in this verse from Gita, chapter 4, 34, he says that tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena, one should come before the guru who is a tattva-darshan, tattva-gyani, gyaninas tattva-darshan. Excuse me, gyaninas tattva, tattva-gyani. He knows tattva, he knows gyani, he knows and has realized the various tattvas, radha-tattva, prema-tattva, jiva-tattva, nam-tattva, shristi-tattva, all the different truths of spiritual reality and the truths of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master has understood those by dint of intense study, by the mercy of his own guru and the guru parampara, and by his austerities and surrender and personal practice of the various limbs of devotion, he has actually realized the different tattvas and is relishing them. He's a rasika and babuvaka. He understands the essence and he's relishing the taste of Krishna consciousness. He's a tattva-gyani. Gyaninas tattva darshan. Darshan means he understands, he's realized, he's following, and he's also actually seen. In many cases, he's had darshan of Krishna, or Radharani, or Radha Krishna Yugal. So that's the quality of the guru, the high class Uttam Adhikari guru. Then what are the qualities of the disciple? He should come before such a guru, tadvidi pranipatena. He should fall like a stick, dandabat pranams, before the guru in full submission and sharanagati. Guru pada shraya, take shelter of the lotus feet of guru. And then he should, tadvidi pranipatena, pariprashnena. Pariprashna means, prashna means questions, like pritcha, saddharma pritcha, pritcha. He should ask questions. Pranipatena, pariprashna. Pari means many, from all different angles. He should ask questions about Krishna consciousness, Krishna sambandha, Krishna abhideya, Krishna prayojan, all the different questions about the basis of Krishna consciousness, the practice and the ultimate goal, the sadhana tattva and sadhya tattva. All these should be inquired by the disciple. It's called pariprashnena. Then there's seva. So there's submission, inquiry, and seva. Pranipatena is submission. Pariprashnena, this is inquiry, asking questions about eternal principles of religion, about Krishna consciousness, the practice of bhakti yoga, and the goal of Krishna prema. And then there's seva. This Vishrambena Gurur Seva. One should serve the guru with great love, faith and devotion, and love, and faith and confidence, zest and delight, love and devotion. This is Vishramba. So these are the three qualifications or requirements of the disciple who's approaching a tattva-gyani guru. So we can see that this is one of the primary elements, essential elements of the disciple is inquiry, inquiring about eternal religious principles, saddharma pritcha. So now we'll discuss principle 6, which is accepting only what is necessary. Yavad artanu vartita. In other words, a devotee, we should accept what we need. Prabhupada coined the term simple living and high thinking. We should live very simply, whatever our basic needs are for eating and sleeping, accept the minimum, and spend the balance of our time, majority of our time, inquiring about Krishna and serving Krishna and distributing Krishna to others by preaching and distributing Prabhupada's books and the message. In other words, Prabhupada often said, we eat to live. We take a little bit of prasadam, rice, dal, chapati, just to maintain the body. We don't live luxuriously. We don't eat sumptuously. We eat just to live. Whereas the materialistic people, they live to eat. They think that life means eating sumptuously and tasty prasadam of all different cuisines and types of gourmet foods. This restaurant and that restaurant. Tonight Italian food, tomorrow French food, then Vietnamese food, then Chinese food, then South Indian food, and then Bengali food, and then Punjabi food, and Maharashtrian food, and Gujarati food, and doklas, and rajma, and Bengali rasgullas, and all kinds of rubbery, and pasta, and French fries, and samosas and pies and cakes and all varieties of things, so they live just to eat. But this is not simple living in high thinking. This is complex living in low thinking or no thinking. So accepting only what is necessary. Yavat artanu, art anu vartita. This is one of the principles of bhakti. We take only what we need to maintain our body and soul together. Prabhupada used to say, if we're as big as an elephant, then we should eat like an elephant. But if we're tiny and small, then we should eat like an ant. Take our quota and nothing more. Vishnu Chakravarti, he gives his commentary and he explains, he calls this principle Bhajan Riti Niti Prashna. Bhajan Riti Niti, Bhajan Riti Niti Prashna. Questions about the procedures of bhajan. So this Saddharma means the eternal or true religion, which is followed by the saintly persons. So we should inquire with great persistence in order to understand the procedures. And this verse from Narada Pancharatra, which is quoted in Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's actually Archadeva Savarta Sindhyet Yesham Abhipsita Sadharmas Yava Bodhaya Yesham Nirvandini Mati. It says, Vishwanath gives this translation, those whose minds are exceedingly anxious to know all about Sadharma or the procedures of bhakti very quickly attain their cherished goals. So we should be anxious. There should be enthusiasm to make inquiry. Often when we ask, we gather with some devotees, or some devotees come to visit us. We ask them, do you have any questions? We look at one and then the other, and they all say, no, Maharaj, we don't have any questions. The next question I ask them, I say, well, are you reading Prabhupada's books? Are you reading the books of our acharyas and goswamis? Then the same people that say they have no questions, they generally say, well, I'm very busy with my work, with my family, with my school. Maharaj, I really don't get much time to read. A little bit here and there, every few days maybe. Even sometimes a few days go by and I don't read. And then I say, oh yes, that's why. That's why you have no questions. No reading, no questions. Because if you read this most complex and elevated subject matter of Krishna Tattva, it is not an easy subject. It's a very deep subject. Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam. So naturally, if one is reading the subject matter deeply, with great anxiousness, exceedingly, in other words, his mind is exceedingly anxious to know all about Saddharma and the procedures of bhakti, then if he's reading nicely and diligently and sufficiently, then so many questions will come. So if someone doesn't have any questions, that's the proof. You don't even have to ask a second question. You ask one question. Do you have any questions? And if everyone says no, then you already know without asking that those people, those same devotees, aren't doing any reading, or very superficial or very limited reading, which is unfortunate, because this reading is food for the soul. Philosophy is food for the soul, just as rice dal chapatis are food for the body. We need every day rice dal chapatis to sustain and maintain the body. So every day we need Krishna conscious philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Goswami Granthas, in order to maintain and nourish the bhakti lata and to enliven and purify the soul. The seventh item, the 64 limbs of devotion, is described as residing in a sacred place. In Sanskrit, Rupa Goswami says, Dorgadi Nivaso, and he quotes a verse from the Skanda Puran, Samvatsaram Vasan Masan, Masam Vasardame Mevava, Dorka Vasina Sarve Nara Narayas Chaturbhujam. This is Dwaraka Adi Nivas. Adi means beginning. Nivas means to live. So beginning with living in Dwaraka, beginning with Dwaraka and other holy places such as Vrindavan or Mathura, this quote has meaning. So Skanda Puran says that a man or woman who lives in Dwaraka and other holy places like Vrindavan and associates with the Lord, or other holy places associated with the Lord, if he lives there for 1 year, 6 months, 1 month, or even 15 days, because it says Ardha Mas, he becomes four-handed resident of Vaikuntha, Chaturbhuja. And then Rupa Goswami quotes from the Bhagavatam and also Brahma Puran to describe about Naimisharanya and living by the Ganges. And Brahma Puran describes the value of living at Jagannath Puri. Vishnu Chakravartipad, he calls this item, he calls this Tirthavas. He expands this item by saying it applies to Tirthavas, Tirthamahatmyam Shravanam Cha, to live in a sacred place and to hear the greatness of such places. Just like Rupa Goswami has written a book called Mathura Mahatmyam, which saw the glories of living in Mathura, visiting Mathura during Janmashtami, bathing Yamuna, observing Kartik and Bhishma Panchaka and Vrindavan, and many, many other points he explains by quoting various Puranas about the glories of Mathura and Vrindavan, and visiting and living in the 12 forests. So in the Brahma Purana, it says, Aho Kshetrasya Mahatmyam Samanta Dasha Yojanam Devishta Yatra Pashyanti Sarva Neva Chaturbhujam. The glories of Purushottam Dham, which is Jagannath Puri, are extraordinary. The demigods from the celestial planets see all the living entities spread within the radius of 80 miles of Jagannath Puri as being four-handed residents of Vaikuntha. So Jayavadharma Bhaktivinoda also describes that the residents anywhere within Navadvip, especially Mayapur, is identical to resonance in Vrindavan. The reason for this is that of all the places of liberation, Mayapur is the chief because Lord Chaitanya appeared there. By living in Mayapur, all kinds of offenses are destroyed and one easily attains Shuddha Bhakti. Therefore, in Navadvip Sataka, Prabodhananda Saraswati has described Navadvip Dham to be non-different from Sri Vrindavan. In some places, he has even given greater importance to Mayapur. So if one is incapable of living in the holy Dham, he can hear the glories of those places. And by hearing the Dhamma, Dhamma Hatmiyam, a strong desire will arise to live there. When the time is right, they may get the good fortune to reside at a holy place. So it's only by good fortune one can live in the holy place like Vrindavan. The next item is described as accepting only what is necessary for one's spiritual advancement. Whereas over-collecting is a big problem. Many people collect more, they think they need so many things, but Prabhupada said that easygoing life and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So in Sanskrit this term is Yavad Artanu Vartita. This is the eighth principle. So the Nardiya Purana is quoted here. Nectar devotion. And it indicates that a devotee should accept only what is necessary for physical maintenance. Prabhupada says, in relation to spiritual practices, it's better if one fixes up a regulative principle according to his own ability, and then follows that vow without fail. That will make him advanced in spiritual life. So Jiva Goswami gives a commentary saying what is necessary means what one needs for one's spiritual life in the way of bhakti, physical needs which are essential for one's existence in the path of bhakti. So oftentimes one thinks you need so much facility, but you really don't need so much to serve Krishna. The main thing is service of Krishna. Vishnu Chakravartipad, he gives this commentary on this verse. Sambhakti nirvahana rupa bhojanadi svikaram. Accepting only what is required for the sustenance of bhakti. And the verse that's quoted in Nardiya Prana says that one who actually knows the value of wealth should accept only as much wealth and other things as is required in order to be steadfast in carrying out one's obligations in the matter of bhakti. If one accepts more or less than one's actual requirements, he falls down from spiritual life, and thus his real wealth, paramartha, becomes spoiled. Sadhakas who are fit for vaidhi bhakti may earn wealth by honest means prescribed according to the varnashram dharma to maintain their existence. One should only accumulate wealth in proportion to their needs. If one is anxious to seize more than what he requires, then attachment will arise and destroy his bhajan. If one has too less, it will be detrimental, it will be in scarcity, and his bhajan will dwindle. Until one has earned the qualification to become completely desirous, nirapeksha, he should practice shuddha bhakti and accept wealth only in proportion appropriate for the maintenance of existence. So this is the idea. We eat to live, we don't live to eat. Live very simply in Krishna consciousness.